We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. All right. Now I want to give us a little context for Hebrews chapter 5. I want us to go back here a little bit. And last week, chapter 4, we saw that if we are going to obtain the gold medal, all right, the gold medal of Christian service and eternal rewards, we saw that, and by the way, that's you and I being crowned by the Lord Jesus to rule with Him. A very special, very high reward, the highest reward in eternity for Christians, okay? This one isn't like Jesus says, I'll give you a reward for giving a cold cup of water to someone, okay? That's doable. But this one is much more difficult. This is living to the glory of God all the way in victory and glory to Him till the very last gasp of our breath. And that is not easy, because we have an enemy, the devil, who's doing all he can to stop you and I. And by the way, yes, yours truly as well. He's doing everything he can to destroy us. He's coming to steal, to kill, to destroy. All right? So, we've got a battle on our hands. We're not wrestling against people. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. Okay? Satan and his cohorts that are trying to destroy our testimony and our witness and so on and so forth. Okay? So, We're striving for this goal, but notice here, I'm going to put some verses from last week. We have to have that diligence. Let us, and by the way, the writer of Hebrews is using the us there because he's saying, I'm including myself. Let us, you and me, be diligent to enter that rest. What is that rest in Hebrews? That rest is not going into Kadesh Barnea and going into the promised land like the Old Testament rest was. This is New Testament rest. This is ruling with Jesus. And it's clear from the book of Hebrews that that's what the rest is that the writer's referring to. Now, the great news, we don't have to do this on our own. Last week, we saw that the writer of Hebrews got on this theme of Jesus, our great high priest. All right? And so, the Lord Jesus is our great high priest. He came to this earth. He lived as a human being. He took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man. He became a human being. And so he understood what it meant to be tempted. He understood what it was like to suffer, to be hated, to be ridiculed, to be put down, to be despised, to be slurred. You go down the list. And many of you have endured that much more than others. But here's the good news. Jesus understood what that was like. And he's our great high priest. And I'm going to put this scripture up here because I love it. Jesus gives us everything we need to serve him faithfully right up to the end and rule with him. And look at this great, great promise. We looked at it last week. Let us, therefore, come boldly. And again, that's a word that's got more than one meaning. Boldly, with confidence. He's our high priest. We can have confidence. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Notice it's a throne of grace, like Trent was talking about. God could zap all of us, but man, he's full of grace. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. See, because when we fail God, we need his mercies to be upon us. That we may obtain mercy, we can confess our sins and obtain that. And what else? Find grace. Find strength. Find help. Find grace to help in time of need. Because a lot of times we are in need, okay? So, this morning we're going to read in chapter 5. Now, I've given you a little bit of a reminder. Jesus is our great high priest. He's there for us all the time. We could go with confidence to him. He's going to keep us on the road to righteousness, the road to reward. Okay, he's going to help us stay on that road and not go in the ditch. Okay? And so here's the deal. We're going to read verses 11 through 14 in Hebrews 5, but let me just explain verses 1 through 10, okay? Because, again, I can't do an entire chapter every week if we have to do every single verse, so I'm cutting back. But essentially, I'm going to boil it down. Verses 1 through 10, the first part of the chapter tells us that Jesus meets all of the qualifications to be our high priest. First, the writer says, do you remember the Old Testament high priests? They had to be this, they had to be this, they had to be this, they had to be this. And then the writer says, and Jesus was that, he was that, he was that, and he was that. Jesus met the qualifications perfectly to be our high priest, our representative before God. But we all know this since we began this the second week of January. I think it was the second week of January. But we all realize that these people that are being written to in Hebrews have a huge problem. Maybe you're struggling with this. Maybe not. But they had a huge problem. They were ready to throw in the towel on this idea of serving God and following Jesus and glorifying Him and meeting with other people and praying and so on and so forth. They were ready to give it up and just go back to the old religious ways that they were part of. Like, and you know, we don't know exactly if, you know, it's probably talking about whatever iteration of Judaism that they were currently engaged in before they came to Jesus. But they were in, you know what, everybody, they were in bad shape. They were ready to say, hey, I'm through. If God's going to let me keep getting persecuted like this and keep having to pay the price like this and to suffer like this, I'm out of here. Now, because they were like that, they were failing and they were in danger and they had a lot of problems, and one of the problems is they couldn't hear. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about they couldn't hear correctly. They couldn't listen properly to God, and that's a big problem. That's going to be kind of what we're going to be focusing on this morning. The writer wanted to go deep into God's word, but he couldn't do it with them. He says, you know what? I can't give you meat. I have to give you milk. Because you're like, you were growing, and then you went backwards, and you became like toddlers again and infants. And so I've got to sit here and bottle feed you the ABCs of the Bible, because I want to talk to you about Jesus as your high priest, and I want to go deeper into that, and I want to talk about he's a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I can't talk to you about that, because it'll be like me, I'll be like Charlie Brown's teacher. Remember Charlie Brown's teacher? Wop, 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 wop. That's what it sounds like to Christian people who can't hear. So let's read this together with that in mind, okay? Verses 11 through 14. Okay, I'm going to jump right in there, and the writer says this to God's hurting and weak followers. We have much to say. I want to teach you all kinds of things, and hard to explain. Why? Since you have become dull of hearing. You've got spiritual earwax. You can't listen. You can barely hear what I'm saying to you, and in turn, what God's trying to say to you. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. There's the ABCs. The first principles of the oracles of God, the Word of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. They can't handle it. It's like they're reading and they're like, and by the way, I know that all of us read things and we go, wow, I wonder what that means. That's fine. But I mean, they're reading the Bible, and practically everything they read, they can't figure it out. Unless it's milk, obviously, and then parts of the Bible are milk. And Peter told God's people, receive the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You have to start somewhere. Our children have to have milk, and then they proceed to solid food. Same thing with Christians. All Christians have to start with the milk, but listen, if you're there 10 years, 5 years, I would say 5 years after you're saved, that is not right. By that time, you should be teaching. Hey, listen, I got saved at a factory on a Wednesday night. I went to church for 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, I was on my face at the front of the church, surrendering to God, saying, not going back to the party animal circuit. I'm not going back to my old ways. The old Bob is finished. I'm following Jesus from now on. That was 2 weeks after I got saved. Now, I didn't know, I hardly knew the Bible. But I was hungry and thirsty, man. I was digging. And instead of going out partying on Friday night and Saturday night, I was at home in my mom and dad's basement studying the Word of God for hours. And then I got a hold of these tapes that had Bible songs on them made from the old King James, and I memorized somewhere like 1,000 verses. And so many of those verses I know to this day because I learned them 40-some years ago. But what I'm saying is, the writer here says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. Okay, but solid food, meat, deeper things of God belong to those who are of full age, mature. That is, those who by reason of use, notice, reason of use, they're like spiritually exercising. In fact, the word here, exercise, who by reason of use have their senses exercised, that's the word where we get gymnasium from. It's a Greek word that we get the word in English, gymnasium. They're trained to discern both good and evil. See, they're growing, and so their senses are trained. They've been using this and using God's word and taking it in. And then when they're confronted, they don't go, well, I don't know what to do. I'll just do what everybody else is doing. No, you do what God, if it's a black and white issue, you do what God says. You do what's right. And everything else, if it's not black and white in the Bible, if it's you shall not, if it's not commanded, then it's a wisdom issue. Okay, do you understand that? Okay, where you're going to live, what you're going to do, you know, who you're going to marry, those are all wisdom issues. Those aren't black and white. Other than with a marriage partner, the marriage partner for a believer must be a believer. That's a command. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But you get the idea. So God makes it pretty simple. The black and white are the commandments. Then everything else, you need to get wisdom. Get wisdom from God's word. Get wisdom from mentors. Get wisdom from older people. Get wisdom from people that know God's word. And ask them, hey, I'm about to buy a house. Do you think it's wise that I... And they can help you, okay? The elders are here for this, all right? And Bible fellowship teachers, you should be asking a lot of questions on difficult decisions you have to make, because some people have been down the road and would say, oh no, you don't want to go down that road. If you take that loan, oh, so on and so forth. Okay, let me start off here, of course, with a story. And this isn't so much of a story, but of actual data and facts here. But you know what? Every one of us are aware. I can't believe, in fact, today is March 3rd, and this was about the time 4 years ago when everything in the world began to go crazy, right? 2020, right around the first part of March, COVID just began to go crazy. And it wasn't long after that we actually just shut down our services, and I think it was for like maybe 6 weeks or a couple months, okay, because we were back in the saddle not too long after that. Now, we had spaces on the pews, and we had everybody sitting distanced and all that, but we were trying to do all that we could with the data we had. But as you know, the public school systems in our country, and you know, there's a lot of insanity reigning in the upper echelons of public schools, leadership and oversight. Well, you know, they're just like, hey, you know, we're shutting this down and we're not coming back for a long time. And you know, the kids got eaten up by that. They fell way behind. I've got some quotes here. Okay, this was a survey of principals and teachers from 80%, let's see, a survey of principals and teachers found more than 80% of public schools reporting. Okay, 80% of public schools. Okay, so a huge percentage. Okay, 80% said that the students were, in the empty classrooms, they were stunted in a behavioral and socio-emotional development, number one. Number two, 80% of the public schools had a 56%. So this is 8 out of 10 public schools, 56% increase in classroom disruptions from student misconduct. Okay, what else? Okay, kids, 49% increase in rowdiness outside of the classroom. So they come back to school and there's all kinds of chaos. And then they get back to classes finally, and the survey reported a 55% increase in student tardiness. Okay, you're going to love this next one. Wikipedia noted, studies have shown that the more students miss school, the worse they perform. Duh. I mean, do they even need to put that? I mean, I'm like, who at Wikipedia put that on there? I mean, it's like so silly. Okay, so think of all that in light of our text today, okay? In the text we read earlier, the believers to whom the book of Hebrews was written, they're having learning problems, okay? They had lost their spiritual ability to hear. They couldn't listen correctly. They couldn't hear correctly. Okay? They had problems. And the writer said, listen, you've become dull. Your hearing has lessened. You used to be able to hear a lot better. Hey, is there a little bit of a... Okay, Robert, have you heard that? Have you heard the little... it's kind of like a whistle or a feedback. So see if... You might be. I don't. I mean, I could get back. Do I need to move back farther? Can you still hear me here or no? Oh, you have tinnitus. Yeah, that's right. Bunch of you said, "Hey, we don't ever hear you." So no. But okay. So you guys can work on that, and I'll just keep going here. But it's not bad. It's not like a whistle or anything. But there is a little. I'm hearing up here, which I don't have any monitors. So you're getting the brunt of the speakers there. So okay. So they had trouble listening. It happened over time. And this is the issue that I'm going to be dealing with today. All right? So this is the title that I've given today. And it's called The Side Effects of Spiritual Hearing Loss. The side effects. Okay, I can't hear properly. Well, then what's the outcome? That's what we're going to talk to you about for a little while today. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we praise you so much for your faithful people, Lord. Thank you for all that have congregated today, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, you know, life without your word, life is complicated enough, but then when we don't follow your word, it gets extremely complicated. And so we just want to praise you, Lord, for helping us understand your word. And I pray that today this message would just would be a blessing, would open people's eyes, and that they would really, really be nourished by this today. And we pray it in your precious name, Jesus, and for your sake. Amen. Okay, so the Christians are battling many spiritual problems. We've already seen that. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Now we got another one, chapter 5. I wanted to review a few of these before we jump into verses 11 through 14. Okay, what about chapter 1 and 2? Okay, the writer at the beginning of chapter 2, he said in chapter 1, hey, God has spoken to all of us through his Son. Jesus came and he told us everything we needed to hear. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. Okay, there it is. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. Pay closer attention. See, they had a listening problem. They weren't paying close enough attention, and maybe even when they did, they weren't even understanding They were getting all out of shape spiritually. We must pay closer attention to the things we have heard. But he doesn't stop there. Why? Lest we drift away. And did you hear that? Okay. Because they'd stopped paying close attention to God, they were in danger of drifting away. This is subtle. A mature believer doesn't wake up one day and say something like this. A mature believer doesn't wake up and say, hey, you know what? You know what? I think tomorrow I'm just going to quit reading the Bible and going to church. That never happens. No. Spiritual lethargy, spiritual problems always begin slowly, subtly. The Bible says Satan is subtle. Satan is subtle. And so it's just like a boat, okay? It's like a boat that's just drifting in the sea. And I got this picture with the shark fins there because it's dangerous to be drifting spiritually, okay? That boat's just going to go wherever, who knows where. It's off the track, all right? And so Hebrews 2:3, I don't have the scripture to put on the screen, but the writer of Hebrews said that they began to neglect so great a salvation. And by that word, the word salvation in the book of Hebrews is talking about eternal life. So great a salvation is God delivering us spiritually, and then into a co-reigning relationship. It's that rescue. I'm going to rescue you from your sinful body on earth at the end of your life, and I'm going to deliver you to a throne. You will rule with me forever. Again, the highest reward. And he said, you aren't paying attention, and you're neglecting this amazing teaching about reigning with Jesus. Okay, you get the drift. Okay, and you know what? Even today, let me tell you this, we are so fortunate here at Ridgepoint Fellowship because you know what? If you go to the majority of churches, I would say, the majority of Bible teaching churches, okay, you may not ever hear about this idea of reigning with Jesus, and I'm going to tell you why. Because in most churches, what they teach is this. If you're saved, every one of you are going to reign with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let me ask you this. Is that possible? I mean, even without opening up the Bible and proving it's not true. I mean, think about this. You got lazy Joe Dokes over here. Doesn't give anything to God. Doesn't serve. Selfish. Doesn't think of others. Now, he got saved when he was 8 years old, but for the last, 80 years, he hasn't done diddly squat. And then you got this person over here that's working their head off day and night, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. But all these churches, most churches you go to say, well, hey, this guy probably isn't saved. And this, everybody that's in heaven is going to get to rule with Jesus. Hey, look, if everybody's a king and queen, we won't have any subjects. Do you realize that? There won't be anybody to rule over, right? I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's kind of hard to have subjects if everybody's the king and everybody's the queen. Okay, so, hey, that sounds good, I think. Do you hear it anymore? Okay, went away? All right, great job, you guys. All right, so, first danger, spiritually drifting. But another danger, chapter 3. Okay, we went from chapter 2 to chapter 3. Here it is. Being spiritually hardened. Having unbelief toward God's promises and getting hardened. This is God's people having spiritual hearts that are hardened. Now, right now, I've got a physical heart that's hardened. And I'm working on that. I'm trying to get rid of these blockages in my arteries in my heart. But this isn't talking about our physical. I'm just talking about spiritual, Christian people who've got hard hearts. Okay, look at verse 12. Beware. Beware. That's strong words. Okay, it's like, I'm warning you, brethren, lest there be. Okay, first of all, brethren. Saved people or lost people? Yeah, saved people. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, encourage each other, warn each other, while it's called today, while you still have the opportunity to get this great eternal reward, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So first, what do we have? We've got unbelief. Well, I don't, you know, pastor says we should do this, but I don't believe that. And pastor says we should do that. It's in the Bible. He shows us in the Bible, but I don't believe that. You know, I don't see it that way. And so they start disbelieving God and his promises and his commandments. And then what happens, the more that a person does that, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need to be in church every Sunday. I don't need to read my Bible regularly. I don't need to pray. Okay, they start saying all those things and they convince themselves. Suddenly, they don't care very much anymore about God and the things of God. The old saying, I won't put it on the screen because you know it. Sin blinds and sin binds and sin grinds. That's from the story of Samson in the Bible. First, Samson got blinded, and then he started, they bound him, Samson. He was blinded, he was bound, and then he had to grind. And they punished Samson. And he paid a price. He paid a price. And so, you know, this is like heart disease. Okay, I already brought that up. How is it like heart disease? Nobody wakes up one day and says, you know what? I think that I'd like to have a heart attack today. I think I'd like to have a hard heart. And then all of a sudden go, oh, I can't breathe. And they keel over. Okay. What happens? We don't stay active. We eat food that clogs our hearts. And slowly but surely our arteries harden and we suffer the consequences. See, I'm fighting this right now. And mine, unfortunately, is hereditary. You know, I've always pretty much tried to eat the right things. And, you know, but nonetheless, now I've really got to watch what I eat. You know, and it's hard, but you know what I'm doing? Because I don't want to have open heart surgery. I don't want them to have to go in there and say, okay, we're going to unclog your heart on purpose. We're going to break your chest, or we're going to saw it open and split it open, like we're going to stretch it open and go in there. And yeah, I don't want that. I'm trying to avoid that. I might have to do it, but I'm hoping not. So, you know, I'm doing all these austerity measures to try to keep from having this hard heart. And same thing, sin does the same thing. The bad eating and not exercising, sin does the same thing spiritually in people's hearts. And so one day they quit honoring God and their hearts have been hardened by sin. And this is the danger those people faced, okay? Now, is it ringing again? Okay. Robert, we need to be fixed some more. Okay. Let me go back to last week, Hebrews chapter 4. God's people were in danger of becoming disobedient to God, right? They were no longer diligent about reigning with Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews says to them, okay, hey, you know what? I got an idea. Let me do this. This mic's kind of close to those speakers. Oh, Robert, is the light all right on me here? Oh, I just realized it was on the step. I'm wondering, hi, how did I just shrink? Okay, but anyway, all right. Is that any better? Is that better? Is it, okay, well, let's try it. I'm going to move back a little bit. Hopefully I'm still in the light for the video. Okay, so these people in the book of Hebrews, they were becoming like their Old Testament ancestors, right? They weren't diligent about reigning with Jesus. The Old Testament people weren't diligent about obeying God and going into the promised land. And the New Testament Christians weren't diligent about saying, hey, this reigning with Jesus thing really matters. I need to be striving for it. I can't blow it off and say, that's not important. I'm just going to be a mediocre believer. No, God wants us to be mature, growing, strengthening, and then teaching others, strengthening others, getting rid of the baby bottle spiritually. Now, verse 11 in Hebrews 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now, I don't think our friend on the screen was diligent regarding his diet and exercise. And because of that, what happens to people that don't? Well, they have a fall physically. Help, I'm having a heart attack. They're pushing the button on their chain. Well, yeah, that's what happens physically. What's happened spiritually, because your heart gets hardened and you have, like Humpty Dumpty, you have a great fall, but it's a spiritual fall. And you fall sometimes into the ditch of sin and so on and so forth. And these people were spiritually unhealthy. They were dull of hearing. They couldn't be taught the meat of God's word and its deeper truths because they weren't listening to God. It's like almost like they're plugging their ears almost. Now, the writer wanted to share some deeper truths, as I said earlier. But here's what it would have been like. It would have been like teaching physics to a first grader. Okay? Charlie Brown's teacher. Wop, 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 wop. And they're writing all of it on the board. But a first grader, they can't understand that. Okay? So, these people were spiritually sick. They were in danger of going off the road, falling off the bridge, having a spiritual heart attack. So, let's go back to what the author said to them. Let's look a little more closely. Okay? We have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, the ABCs of God's word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. See? He said, you've come to need milk. They were really starting to maybe be able to have solid food, but they regressed and they had to go back to a formula. They had to go back to a baby bottle. Okay? Even though they were saved long enough that they should have been teaching others. Hey, listen, I told you earlier that I got saved and then I I surrendered to God, just said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to glorify you. I had no idea what he wanted to do with my life. I just knew whatever it was because I was still going to engineering school. Okay? And I went back for even another semester before I transferred to Bible college. But listen, all I knew is I wanted to glorify God and serve him. I didn't know the Bible initially, but I hungered and thirsted for it and started to grow and so on and so forth. And this verse 13 here says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. Okay? These people were regressing. And like when I was a new believer, it didn't take that long. Before I started in our Bible clubs in different places, I began to teach kids the Word of God. I knew enough where I could teach them how to be saved, teach them to love God, and I would sing the scripture songs with them. I'd play my guitar and sing the songs for the Bible. They would memorize the Bible. And so, these people, they just needed milk. They weren't mature. You see here, you've come to need milk and not solid food. Did I have the next scripture page here? Yeah. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. I wanted to give you solid food, but I couldn't because you're not spiritually mature. Okay? You haven't by reason of use, whoops, what did I do? You haven't by reason of use gotten your senses trained yet. There's that word gymnasium. You haven't gotten them trained to be able to discern good from evil. Boy, that's dangerous. When you're there, that's spiritual infancy, and that's just a terrible, terrible place to be. We don't expect a baby to eat solid food. You can't give a baby meat, Okay, this is kind of like, this could be at that Fogo de Chao. Have you ever gone to Fogo de Chao? They come up with meat continually. They're just coming. Now, they don't slap five, you know, steak loins. What they do is they have got a guy there with a knife, and he's got it on a big spear, as it were, and he just slices, you know, a couple of slices, and you eat that. And then they come back, hey, would you like to try some of this? Yes or no? And then, would you like to try it? It's just crazy, you know? And so, it's wonderful. But nonetheless, if this is Fogo de Chao and that baby's there, you know, that baby, first of all, it's holding its ears, it's closing its ears, so it's giving us that spiritual aspect, but it's also closing its mouth because it can't eat that, okay? It can't eat it and it won't eat it, and if it tries to eat it and does eat it, it's going to be a disaster. There's no teeth to chew that up and so forth. Okay, so we don't expect a baby. But listen, in the church, we expect all of you to be functioning. Okay, and again, I'm not saying necessarily teaching a Bible fellowship class, but I am saying, you know, everybody has children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nephews, nieces. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can be teaching people that are under your influence and helping them to understand God. Teach them how to be saved. Okay? Everybody should be able to do that. I've taught over and over and over and just said, listen, be able to share your story. All right? So, what does this look like? We have to be patient with new believers, but they're expected to become more and more like Christ. What does it look like when you become more and more like Christ? Okay, we're almost finished here. First, skilled in the word of righteousness. Skilled with God's word. You know what? If somebody comes to you and they say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And it's not something that's off the charts difficult, okay, you should have such a grasp on God's word that you can say, okay, I know a verse. That verse is in the book of Hebrews. It's in chapter 6, and this is what that verse says. But if you go, that's not good. That's not good. Okay? You should be skilled in the word of righteousness. You should be skilled in understanding God's word. And you know what? When you're reading God's word and you don't understand something, maybe you should mark that and say, hey, I'm just reading God's word right now, but you know what? That's something I have no idea what that means. I'm going to mark it, and I'm going to ask Pastor Bob after church. I'm going to ask Trent. I'm going to ask Vince. I'm going to ask one of the elders. You get the idea. Okay? So number one, understanding God's word, you're skilled in being able to grasp it. And then secondly here in the text, verse 14, once again, your senses trained to discern good and evil. Okay, I put the word trained in there. I took the other one out. This is a little bit more clear. And this is wisely applying God's word. Okay, I know the word of God says, you shall not steal. All right? I'm not going to do that. Not going to do it. Ever. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because God said not to. Okay? Your senses are trained to discern good and evil and to practice it. And that's why I put applying it. You know what it says, and then you are trained to apply it and follow through. Again, hey, everybody, we're never going to be 100% perfect. Okay? You know, Jesus said, the Old Testament said, don't commit adultery. The New Testament says, I say to you, Jesus is giving them New Testament truth there, as it were. I say to you, don't even look with lust upon a woman. If you do that, you commit adultery with her in your heart. You do it not physically, you do it spiritually, spiritual adultery. And so, I remember I've told you this before, Martin Luther was talking about this because he said, it's one thing for a bird to land on your head. Okay, temptation is one thing. But it's another thing to let the bird build a nest on the top of your head. So if a bird, a lustful thought comes into your mind, get out of here. So what you do, spiritually speaking, is that very moment you turn to Jesus and you say, Lord, I'm being tempted. Lord, give me victory. Lord, you know, Tell Satan to flee. Tell his minions to flee. I want to honor you. And you just start thinking on the Lord Jesus. You start thinking on Scripture. And you train yourself like that. And man, it's a great thing to do. You know? And so, these believers were spiritually sick. They were ready to give up. They're weak in God's word. They couldn't recognize how wrong it was, because they're about to do it. They couldn't recognize how wrong it was to turn to the old Judaistic ways and turn their backs on Jesus. They were about ready to do that. They were being tempted to do that. They were in such danger. They're drifting and they're doubting and, oh my goodness. Persecution had come upon them because they were believers and they couldn't deal with it. They were ready to collapse spiritually. Hey, and everybody, let me just tell you this. America has been a blessed nation, and I don't have this in my notes, but I just want to say it. America has been a blessed nation for 200 years. But let me just tell you this. Just because a nation has been blessed for 200 years doesn't mean it will continue to be blessed for another 200 years. You look back at history, and there are more civilizations and domains and dominion and kingdoms that are on the ash pile of history than we can imagine. You remember, Nebuchadnezzar was like a god over the world, as it were. He had a statue that people were forced to worship, but guess what? Nebuchadnezzar was turned into an animal by God. And then Nebuchadnezzar lost his kingdom after he got his head back on. He lost his kingdom, and the Medes and the Persians took it over. And the Medes and the Persians were now, but you know what? Then the Greeks came and took it over. And the Greeks, man, they were just all over the earth. But then the Romans took over. And then the Romans got, okay, you get the idea. Hey, listen, that could happen to America, and we could suddenly be in straits that we can't even imagine. And if that does come upon us, and Christians are being heavily and intensely persecuted, maybe being blamed for what's going on, hey, listen, it could get very difficult very quickly. And if we're not strong, if we were weak like these people, we'd be in big trouble like these people were. Okay, let's finish it up. Okay, application. How are we going to take today's message and apply it? Simple. First, I didn't put these on the screen. See ya. How are we going to do this? I thought I had. Okay, here's number one. How are we going to do this? How is your intake of God's word? Okay, if you're really on a milk diet right now, okay, well then notch it up. Okay, start reading more, start studying more, start asking more questions, start learning more. Maybe buy a good book, you know, like a book about how to interpret God's word. You know, there's a guy named Roy Zuck, Z-U-C-K. He's got one. I can give you a thick PDF by Earl Rodmacher, and it talks about how we can study God's word and understand it better. So let me know if you want that. Just let me know and I'll email it to you. But anyway, how are you doing on your intake? Are you hungry for the deeper things of God and his word? Are you hungry to understand? Or do you, watch, when you read the Bible, do you just read it and say, oh, I understand. Oh, I don't understand that. And I don't understand that. And I don't understand that. Yeah, I don't understand that. You keep reading. So you're like a baby drinking a bottle, and you never do anything about it. You never say, hey, I want to know what that means. So I encourage you, you know what, either have a pad and paper and just start writing down. Say, hey, I read John chapter 8. Oh, man, I had no idea what Jesus was saying in this verse. Write it on a piece of paper and come and start asking questions in Bible fellowship after church. You know, you can write, you can email us, you can call us. We got elders, we've got teachers. There's no reason that you can't be growing. You should be. You know, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay, that's the first thing. So where are you at on that? Are you content to sip baby formula spiritually the rest of your life? Or are you? Do you mean business? Do you really want that reward? Are you like, ah, I don't care? You know, if I get in the doors of heaven, you shouldn't be saying, if I get in, but I realize that we can say it in that way in the sense of, if I get in, everything's fine. You can mean, if I get in and I know I will, everything will be fine. Okay, so, but that's not bueno, because the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things which we've done in the body, whether good or bad. And that's how God will reward us, okay? And some people will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and other, born again, child of God, children of God, they're going to hear, you wicked and lazy servant. He didn't call him an unbeliever. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. You were evil. You didn't listen to what I said was wrong. And number two, you were lazy. You could care less. You just wanted to just get along and so on and so forth. Okay. So number one, application, your intake of God's word. Where are you at? Then second, how is your outflow of God's word? Remember, they were supposed to be teachers? Okay, now that doesn't mean Bible fellowship teachers, though it can mean that. This just means that, hey, you're growing and you're like, hey, you know what, I'm concerned that, you know, people in my neighborhood I talk to, or my children, or my grandchildren, or co-workers, I'm concerned that they understand, first, about being saved, and then second, okay, you get the idea. Okay, so how is your outflow of God's words? Are you applying what you learn? Can you think critically and recognize what is moral and what is not? What is ethical and what is not ethical? What honors God and what dishonors Him? And then, with His help, live out the truth day in and day out. So, how is your intake? And how is your outtake, your outflow? How is that going? And really, you know what? All I know is this. When I put my faith in Jesus, I barely knew God's word. I couldn't quote John 3:16. So funny, the kids that were in the Bible clubs in the projects up in Chicago, the kids in the projects knew more about the Bible than I did. I love that. Those little kids, they were so cute. Every Saturday, we go out there and teach them. And man, their parents, they would let them get on the van, and we'd bring them over here and go out and get more and bring them in. We'd pack out the little clubhouse that the city let us rent every week. And I knew they knew more than I did. They knew songs I didn't know. They knew scriptures I didn't know. But you know what? I wasn't content to say, well, you know what? If I learn, great. If I don't, hey, I'll just keep playing the guitar. That's all I need to do now. I said, nope, I need to grow. I need to learn. I need to grow. Jesus said, I started memorizing the Beatitudes. Blessed are you that hunger and thirst. Seek first the kingdom of God. And you get the idea? And so you know what? Before long, I was able to actually teach them things they didn't understand. And it was wonderful. So I know that, you know, that we don't all have the same scope of, but you know what? Obviously, He's talking to God's people and He's saying, you ought to be teachers. Because we all have children, grandchildren. Most of us have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nephews, nieces, great-nephews. And so, God's word. Don't be hard of hearing. Let God examine your hearing. And if He says your hearing's no bueno, then we need to start taking steps. All right, let's bow for prayer, everybody. Father, we praise You for Your word. And right now, Lord, we just need Your grace and Your help, Lord. God, help all of us to hunger and thirst. Help us to thirst for Your righteousness. Help us to thirst for Your word. Oh, how sweet are Your words to my mouth. Yea, sweeter than honey, Lord. Oh, Jesus, let it be that way in our lives. God, we get too wrapped up in other things, and then You get the short shrift, Lord. You get kind of set aside. And Lord, we just ask that You would help us in every way. God, as a church, so many people that we could reach around us, but Lord, we don't even want to try. So many people we can invite. So God, help us. So many people, Lord, that we could call and encourage to get back in church. Father, help us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen.